Our sermon scripture reading is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, and it would be great if you followed along with your own copy of the Bible or in the Pew Bible that's in front of you. You can turn to page 1113 in order to follow along with me as I read. Page 1113, 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And we'll be reading the first part of this chapter. You heard the second part of the last half of this chapter a little before. Page 1113, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth and addressing all of the division in the church. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord God, it is encouraging to know that people have struggled with their pride, with excluding one another, even within your body, right from the beginnings of your church, that you had a word to say to the church in Corinth, which was a word of correction, but also a word of love. And Lord God, I thank you that you've laid on Riley's heart this morning the desire to share with us about the various gifts that you give to each one of those who call upon your name, who trust in the Lord Jesus, who gives us, by his Spirit, gifts to build up the church. And even so, Lord, you have gifted our brother Riley with great gifts of love and encouragement. And I thank you so much for his friendship to so many of us and for his encouragement to me so often. And Lord God, I pray that you would be with him in a powerful way this morning, that he would sense your presence, that he would know that you are speaking through him, that though he is just a mere man and fallible and frail, that this is the means that you have chosen to communicate to us week after week. Lord, give him a sense of the great privilege that that is, and help him to know with a humble heart your sense, the sense of your Spirit working through him. Open our hearts to hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. It is really good to be back. I've missed you. We've missed you. Isela's at home today with our little newborn Isabella. She's still not yet ready to come, but we really look forward to the day that we can introduce all of you to Isabella. Thank you all for your love, for your gifts, food, and friendship. We have felt truly cared for in this season and loved. Bethesda is truly an outpost of the family of God and the body of Christ. As you may have guessed from the reading this morning, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul begins this section in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 saying that he doesn't want us to be ignorant regarding the gifts. And so this time, in our time this morning, I hope to walk through the main points in this passage so that we too may not be ignorant regarding the spiritual things that Paul is talking about here. And while our time this morning we'll focus on the general instructions about spiritual gifts to the church, I feel it's important to at least mention that Paul is responding here to a specific problem in the Corinthian church regarding the misunderstanding of the gift of speaking in tongues. The Corinthians were putting too much emphasis on the speaking of tongues and valuing it far and above the other gifts. And as we'll learn, Paul reminds the Corinthians that the body of Christ needs the whole range of gifts. Mr. Potato Head needs all of his parts. Unfortunately, we don't have time to dive into any of the gifts specifically, speaking in tongues or otherwise. I'm sure whole classes or courses have been devoted to this topic, and to be honest, we really just don't have the time. So today I'm going to focus on what I think are the three basic teachings that Paul outlines in this passage that apply to the whole range of gifts. All right, so first, spiritual gifts come from God. Second, spiritual gifts are used for building up the church. And third, spiritual gifts are given to each believer. They come from God, they are used to build up the church, and they are given to each believer. When it comes to spiritual gifts, and as I was looking at these passages and asking myself questions this week and the weeks before, I've had the question, what makes a gift spiritual? What's so special about it? We all have skills and talents and passions and interests, but what counts as a spiritual gift? What differentiates a spiritual gift and a skill? Because a spiritual gift and a skill may appear the same. The core differences between a skill and a gift are where they come from and what they are used for. The core differences between a skill and a gift, a spiritual gift, are where they come from and what they are used for. Namely, that spiritual gifts come from God and are used to build up the church. Spiritual gifts come from God and they're used to build up the church. So we're going to dive into our passage this morning. I invite you to open up your Bibles if you don't already have them open. It's the same passage that Yuri read from page 1113. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. And as we do, I want you to pay attention to repetition in these verses. The passage is a really good example of intentional repetition in Scripture. It's quite common to see this throughout the Bible, lists of things that and ideas that are repeated very close together, but they say similar things, but just a little bit different. Different enough that it makes us pause and question, why would the Spirit inspire the author to be a broken record, to say things again and again, but just a little tweak? What nuance is the author trying to convey? So looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, let's pay attention for this repetition. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6. It would be correct to also say all people, in case you're wondering. So, three times we have this phrase, there are different kinds of, repeated word for word, verbatim. And this clues us in to each new line of repetition, each new similar idea that Paul is trying to give us here. And next, we have three words in the same place in the sentence. They have the same vibe, but they are intentionally different. That is, gifts, service, and working. And we're going to take a look at each one of them individually. So first, we have gifts highlighted in blue there on the screen. The root word for this Greek word is charisma. That's the Greek word, charisma. Probably not pronouncing it with a Greek accent, but you get the idea. And within this Greek word of charisma, just like any time we translate a word, there's kind of a range of meaning or a deeper understanding behind that word. So within charisma, there are ideas of favor, divine grace, and simply as it's translated, a gift. So if we insert this to our passage, as you'll see on the screen, there are different kinds of gifts, favors, divine graces, but the same Spirit. In the next sentence, we have the word translated as service. And in Greek, this word is diakonia. Again, probably not saying it right. But perhaps you can hear, even in my bad pronunciation, diakonia sounds kind of similar to an English word that we might know well in church. Deacon. Diakonia, deacon. Similar vibe. And so within this word of diakonia is this similar vibe of ministry, serving, providing for others. And if we think of deacon ministry in the church, such as visiting the sick, those in care homes, or providing for those who need it, we can see the connection between these ideas. And if we insert it into our passage, there are different kinds of services, ministries, providing for others, but the same Lord. And the last word in this set is translated as workings, and the Greek word is energeo, or if you want to, energy is kind of the, again, the vibe, energeo, energy. And that's really the main idea here. It's working, it's activities, it's the doings. So if we insert this into our passage, we get there are different kinds of workings, activities, but the same God. We're going to go over this again, but there are different kinds of gifts, favor, divine grace, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, ministries, providing for others, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, activities, but the same God works all of them in all men. And then in our passage, we just went through all the blue words. Then we have, slightly italicized, the words, but the same. And again, this is a connecting word that helps us understand that it's repeated again, and Paul's intentionally doing this. And lastly, and most importantly, we have the subject of the action. That is the Spirit, the Lord, and God, in yellow on the screen, restated in each one of the lines. The three-in-one God, working all gifts in every believer. What's interesting to me here is that Paul emphasizes our three-in-one God. He doesn't just say the same God. He emphasizes the three-in-one God that we serve. And this shows that it is not only God who provides the gifts again and again, but there is, just as there is diversity in the gifts in the church, there is diversity in the Godhead. Craig Bloomberg puts it this way in his commentary on 1 Corinthians. Paul elucidates or clarifies spiritual gifts from three different angles. They are bestowed freely by the Spirit's grace, are intended to be used in a Christ-like attitude of servanthood, and are the result of God's powerful working in a person's life. To reframe this a bit and use the language of our passage, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit bestows the gifts freely by the Spirit's grace. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, whose servanthood we are to imitate as we serve. There are different kinds of working, but the same God, who works powerfully in people's lives, works all of them in all men. Each person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, seem to each have their own role to play in the provision of spiritual gifts. And just like Paul's instruction to the church, unity is the key here. Our God is three in one. And while there are many things about this concept that can make our heads spin or be difficult to explain to our coworkers when they ask at work, one of the things that is very clear is that God, our three in one God, is unified. One God, three persons. One God, three persons, one church, many members. God models for us in his very being who we, the church, are called to be, one with many members, unified with diversity. I hope in pulling apart this passage, we can see the beauty and the depth that Paul is giving us here. Spiritual gifts are gifts, divine graces. I didn't put favor on there, but that's what should be there. They are service, ministry, providing for others. They are workings and activities. They are bestowed by the Spirit's grace, practiced in Jesus' servanthood, and empowered by God. These are the gifts that God gives. And this is a long way of getting around to the point that I started with at the beginning, that spiritual gifts are from God. And verse 11 affirms this when he says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Spiritual gifts come from God. So who cares? Why does it matter that they come from God? I'm glad you asked. Well, Paul's specific point in this passage are that the gifts come from the one true God. That's very important to Paul. Not just the mute idols that the Corinthians used to worship, but the one true God, our God. And our God made us. He knows us. And he loves us. The God of the universe knows us and gave us certain gifts. The God of the universe, who made you, knows you. And he gave you certain gifts. The God who knows you also knows his church so deeply. He knows this church. He knows where the needs are. He knows if we need prophets, teachers, or healers. He knows if we need people of deep faith, words of wisdom, knowledge, and I could go on. Indeed, our church needs the whole range of gifts to whomever and whenever God chooses to give them. God knows us, his people. He knows his church. He knows our needs. Our spiritual gifts come from God. And just like your phone provider, your phone plan, your provider really matters. Let me try that again. I messed up the joke. Our spiritual gifts come from God. And just like your phone plan, your provider really matters. Anyway, that's the groan I was looking for. Thank you. The provider of our gifts matters, and their intended purpose really matters too. So, what is the intended use of the spiritual gifts? How are these things supposed to be used? Well, verse 7 says it quite clearly. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13 affirms this. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. So thinking back to our question of what differentiates a spiritual gift from a skill, this is what really helps me understand the difference. This is the biggest part for me. The spiritual gifts are used for building up the church. You may be many things, and you may have many skills, and they may be really good things, but the use of our spiritual gifts are always defined as being used in his church, in his body. And this can take many forms, and we don't have time to look at each one, but here's a survey list, though not exhaustive, from other passages in the New Testament that speak on spiritual gifts. There's a lot of repetition, but there's also some unique ones in each list. As we can see, there's a wide range. Service, tongues, prophecy, evangelism, pastors, and the list goes on and on. I think it's amazing that within this wide range of gifts that God has given, every believer has a place. Within this wide range of gifts that God has given, every believer has a place. Every believer has a gift. And we must use them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And verse 11 says, all these, that is all the gifts, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives to each one just as he determines. Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Are you his disciple? Is he at work within you? Then you have a beautiful gift. God has given you a beautiful gift. And that gift is needed here at Bethesda. I'll say it again. God has given you a beautiful gift, and that gift is needed here at Bethesda. And believe me, you are needed, you are wanted on God's team here at Bethesda. There are needs you have been uniquely gifted to fill, and there are people you have been uniquely gifted to love. Perhaps you're wondering, what is my gift? Oh, a little too far. There we go. Leave on that one. Perhaps you're wondering, what is my gift? How do I figure this out? What do I need to do? Is there a test? Is there a quiz? There are some out there, and they can be quite helpful. But Paul actually doesn't give us a quiz in 1 Corinthians. He doesn't give us a list of questions to answer to figure it out, as helpful as those can be. And he also doesn't say we get to choose. As it says in blue there in 1 Corinthians 11 on the screen, God gives to each one just as he determines. It's up to him. So there are three things I'd say are a foolproof place to start when you're wondering where you have been gifted to serve at the church. Number one, pray. God gave you your gift. He knows you. He knows where you're needed. So just ask. He's a good God. He answers prayers. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1, verse 5. So, number one, talk to the one who knows you best. Talk to God. Pray. Number two, speak with elders. God has, specifically, the people that God has placed in our church are a good place to start, that have been gifted here to serve us and lead us spiritually. A good place to start would be with Pastor Yuri, Ed Lowen, Dan McRuer, and Pastor George Manilong. All these people would love to have a conversation with you about where to serve in church. And they would love to pray with you and seek the Spirit's leading with you. Number three, just jump in. Whatever opportunities come up, just jump in. Don't be afraid. It's not about the place you're serving or what you're doing. The key part is that we're doing something that builds up the body of Christ. We always need people to help clean up, be intentional about connecting with others and encouraging them, bringing food for Sunday lunches, whatever it is. Since the purpose of God's gifts is to build up the church, we shouldn't wait for the perfect place to use our gifts. In fact, jumping in wherever there is a need may help you discover gifts you didn't even know you had. So just jump in. And as you serve, listen, be attentive to the Spirit's leading for how and where he may be sending you next. Because perhaps you've been serving at church for a while. You know Jesus well and you love serving him. First of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I cannot tell you how encouraging it is to see people who have gone before me live out their faith and their commitment to Jesus as they diligently serve Bethesda. Time and time again, you are an example to me of what it means to make good use of my gifts for the glory of God. My encouragement to you is to pray and be open. Perhaps God is calling you into a different area, one that may be unfamiliar or challenging, or to continue on with where you've always served, loving the Lord diligently. Or, as Pastor Yuri mentioned a few weeks ago, he may be calling you into a season of rest. Whatever it is, as you have always done, continue to follow Jesus wherever he leads. You're never too old. And you're never too young. Kids, just like I told you, when we're talking about Mr. Potato Head, he needs every part of his body. And that includes the kids. That includes you. Jesus wants you to be a part of his church. You have a place to, a part to play here as well. And that goes for the youth too. I've mentioned it before and I'll say it again. I would love to have a conversation with you and talk with you about where you can serve here at Bethesda. God has given you a unique gift with people that need loving. Some of you may feel limited, either physically, emotionally, perhaps by the stage of your life, money or time or a host of other things that life continues to throw at us. You are never too limited. God always has a place for you. Send that encouraging text. Greet that child with a smile. Though these things may feel small to us, it does not make them any less important. You are never too limited, never too young, never too old, never too anything to be used by God for the building up of his church. If you are following Jesus, if you have breath in your lungs, you have a role on the team. We need all the members of the body so our body can live up to its calling, praising and bringing glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? I would love for us all to pray this prayer together in unison as the body of Christ. Jesus, our Lord, we love you and we love each other. Please show us where we are needed and wanted in your church. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Please stay standing.